into keeping costs low. You'll certainly like my topic today. I have a resolution for your approval which will allow us to allocate the recovery zone economic development bond volume cap that our county has received by the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, as you know, is a stimulus program, another piece of the stimulus program. The American Recovery and Reinvestment Act created two new categories of bonds that support local economic development. The first being the Recovery Zone Economic Development Bond that we're going to be talking about today, and the Recovery Zone Facility Bonds, which are the private economic development bonds. An example of that was the Five Point Crossing that came in, and we gave them some volume cap for the project in Lewis. Okay. We're on the Recovery Zone Economic Development Bonds. These are taxable bonds that finance public infrastructure projects in which the federal government will reimburse the issuer, which will be us, 45% of the interest paid. These bonds are not for privately owned projects. This program is available for projects that are located within the previously designated recovery zone, which we did in July 09, designated our recovery zone, and for public infrastructure and support economic development also. These bonds will be issued to the United States Department of Agriculture, RD agency. And today I'm asking the Council's approval to apply our Recovery Zone Economic Development Bond volume cap to two of our infrastructure projects that we have available or that we have in process. The total of our volume cap is $16,644,000. The two projects we want to allocate this to is the first one, the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility, the big one that's going to expand the capacity of that facility for $10,475,000. That's the amount of the RD funding portion. So we're just taking the RD bonds and we're going to turn them into these economic development bonds and get the 45% rebate. I know. The second project is Scruff Pump Station 30 and Force Main, and that amount is $6,169,000. Now, that total project is up close to $13 million, but half of it's being paid through connection fees, half of it we're funding through rural development. Both of these projects qualify under the program as they are expenditures for public infrastructure and construction of public facilities. These bonds must be issued by December 10 this year as this program expires. And just as an example, in applying this volume cap and getting the 45% rebate on interest for Inland Bays, that saves $2.7 million of interest costs, which trickle down to the users. And in the Pump Station 30 and Force Main, $2.2 million of interest costs. Bringing the net effective interest rate, because it's an already low interest rate from rural development. So in the Inland Bays project, where they got a rate of 2.5, and we're getting a 45% rebate. So this is how we're taking advantage of this economic development stimulus. So that's what it basically means, that the USDA bonds that we're financing that are also eligible for the recovery zone bonds and to get that 45% rebate. I don't know if Mr. Baker wants to add anything. I know we've both been working on it for the last couple months.
I'd just like to thank Mrs. Webb and the USDA for their assistance with this. You know, our idea was, and actually the idea was brought to us by the USDA to be able to try to apply this this program to the USDA funding. And as Mrs. Webb noted, we already are a recipient of a relatively low interest rate of 2.5%, and then the other one was
3.3.
And this would reduce that interest by 45% over 40 years. So it will benefit the users in Angola, Oak Orchard, and of course, South Coastal, which is Bethany through Fenwick. Yeah, and Ocean View and Millville.
So that's right.
Appreciate all the work that you've done on that, Sue.
Well, one of the reasons we picked these two projects, because we have many out there to close, which that's for another day. We're going to take advantage of the Build America bonds, but is because these projects affect the treatment plant, which affect many users as possible. So we took the two largest that would be a spread out.
Oh, I think you did it for Mr. Cole. It's in his district.
I think that,
that's true.
Mr. Benson?
I think that Mrs. Webb and Mr. Baker are certainly doing an excellent, excellent job for this county.
Yes, they are.
I sat in on one of the conference calls with them and the USDA people, and it was, I mean, they do a great job for us, and I don't think we can thank them enough for what they do. Well, the citizens can't thank them enough for money they're going to save them. But thank you very much for all the efforts you put forth in doing this kind of stuff.
You're
really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I do have a resolution to read.
Ms. Webb?
Sussex County Council allocates Recovery Zone Economic Development Bond Volume Cap as follows. For the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility, $10,475,000. And for the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facilities, Pump Station 30 and Force Main, $6,169,000.
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second? I have a motion and a second to approve the resolution read by Ms. Webb. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes, and thank you.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay.
Ms. Webb.
So, since we're moving on, we have the deadline to use the economic development bonds. I would like to introduce or have an ordinance introduced today so I can authorize the debt for that project. The ordinance for introduction is to authorize the issuance of $6,169,000 of general obligation recovery zone economic development bonds of Sussex County for the construction and equipping of improvements to and expansion of the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility, Pump Station 30 in Force, Maine. This project will be financed by a USDA bond and county connection, Sussex County connection fees. The bonds are backed by the county's full faith and credit. The bonds will be sold to the United States Department of Agricultural Rural Development, and the bond issue is within the legal debt limit of the county. As we talked about earlier, this individual project will serve 7,329 users that use the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility Treatment Plant.
How does it affect them? Do you think, does it lower than any?
Well, this is the debt that we need to finance the pump station 30, which needs major upgrades.
Okay.
But by using the recovery zone economic development bonds, 45% rebate, it will be a lot lower on the users if we didn't do
good.
It.
Good.
Okay. You're looking for someone to introduce it?
Just to introduce it today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vincent.
That's it.
Anything else for Ms. Webb? Mr. Godwin.
Grants. Yes,
okay. Mr. President, members of council, first today I have two wastewater agreements for your consideration. The first one is Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Windhurst Manor Phase 4, Agreement Number 839. The developer in this case is Frank Capano from Newark, Delaware. The location for this job is 1,775 feet south of the intersection of roads 26 and 352 on the west side of Road 352. This will be part of the Millville expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District, serving 7 attached multifamily units. The system connection charges will total $153,063. We already have approvals from our engineering department as well as DENREC. We're expecting this project to take 7 days. The construction administration and construction inspection costs will total $6,910.20, with a proposed construction cost of $46,068. I have a motion for your consideration. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 839, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Millville Associates, LLC, for the wastewater facilities to be constructed in Windhurst Manor, Phase 4, located in the Millville expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District.
Mr.
Could I get that?
Yes, Mr. Godwin. Don't you mean to say the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer
Sorry,
District?
Sorry, did I say that wrong?
Dewey.
You're right. I'm sorry. Located in the Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Sorry. I guess my mind was on the beach in Dewey.
Make a motion.
Could I get a second, please?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the agreement read by Mr. Goblin. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
We have one more for your consideration, and this one is Sussex County Project 81-04, the Refuge at Derrickson Creek, Phase 9, Agreement Number 972. The developer here is Mr. Ronald Gray from Selbyville, Delaware, and the location is the north side of Route 54, west of Shady Park and Swan Keys. This will be part of the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District, servicing 48 multifamily units. System connection charges will total $227,424, and we do again have the approvals of our engineering department as well as DENREC. Again, we're expecting 30 days of construction with a construction administration and construction inspection cost totaling $9,626.25. The proposed construction cost will come in at $64,175. And I have a motion for this proposal as well. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 972, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Bunting Gray, LLC, for wastewater facilities to be constructed in the Refuge at Derrickson Creek, Phase 9, located in the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District.
So moved.
Second, please.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the wastewater agreement as read by Mr. Godwin. Is there any questions? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Mr. President, members of council, I have requests for disbursement from your annual municipal police grant from four towns today, the first being the town of Blades. They would like to draw all $15,000 of their initial grant money for national night out and salaries. The next town is Ellendale, and they wish to draw their entire $15,000 grant for salaries of officers, and they've included a cost sheet to demonstrate that need. The next one is the city of Milford. This is actually their third request, which will finish up their total of $15,000. And the amount for this last request would be $5,275, which they intend to use for four new tasers, 10 gun mounts, and taser cartridges.
Tasers?
Tasers, yeah.
Sorry. Could you give us a demonstration on
that? Yes. Sure can.
Could you?
As a matter of fact, Mr. Wilson was going to do a demonstration on you, I think, Mr. Cole, that way. The fourth town is the town of Ocean View, and they would like to draw $3,226.94, which will be their first disbursement from this year's fund for simunition training equipment. I could offer you one motion if you'd like.
That'd be nice.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approve four disbursements for four towns from the annual police, the annual municipal police fund grant, and that would be for the town of Blades, Ellendale, Milford, and Ocean View, as earlier described.
And what's Blades going to do with their money?
Blades is going to spend all $15,000 on national night out and salaries.
Night out.
I would imagine the majority of
it. Isn't $1,000 on night out?
They're only allocating $1,000 for the night out event. The other $14,000 would go into salaries.
I thought that was going to be some night out.
Mr. Vincent, Mr. Vincent, are you familiar with that program?
Yes, I mean a lot of communities have it. They have a evening where they'll invite the community in, especially the children.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do bicycle safety things. Wear your helmet. Fire marshal's there about fire protection.
Very helpful for the community.
They have hot dogs, hamburgers, that kind of stuff. It's a very good, usually well attended. It's a very, very good affair.
But the volunteers park on it comes as a volunteer. They don't get paid, right?
That's correct.
So who's going to get paid or need $1,000?
No, they do that to buy the thing. Like they give the hot dogs, hamburgers, that on the chart. It's a give out thing. City of Seaford has been doing it for probably 25 years.
Any questions? Did I get a motion?
Sure, I'll make a motion.
And a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? I'll take the vote. Ms. Diva?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yep.
I vote yes, motion carries.
I'll see what you do.
Legislative update, Mr. Godwin.
Mr. President, members of council, it's very critical that I go over this with you in detail because we're in the 11th hour of the Delaware General Assembly session. Not only will the end of this year's session come to close on June 30th, but the 145th General Assembly will close, meaning that any bill that is not dealt with by June 30th will be terminated and would have to be completely reintroduced in January. So I'll go down our list quickly. All the bills that were introduced last year, House Bill 26, House Bill 95, 209, and 132, don't seem to be moving. I do keep in touch with the sponsors of these bills, but you've given me your position on all of them, and again, they don't seem to be moving at this point, including the first bill that was introduced, which is a FOIA bill, House Bill number 300. That bill has passed the House, but it's been assigned to the Senate's Executive Committee, and I've never seen it on an Executive Committee hearing list, so I don't think that bill has a lot of energy behind it either. The one bill that we are sponsoring, House Bill 333, which will allow us to use the JP Court for sanitary sewer connections, is moving along well. It's passed the House. It's in the Senate. I spoke with the Senate sponsor as well as the chairman of the committee which released this bill, and they both told me last week that they hoped to have this bill on the Senate's agenda today. It's not on the agenda that I printed off the computer, but if it's not today, I would hope to see it Thursday. So I'm going to go up as soon as we finish here today and see if I can't get that bill to move. Let's see. Senate Bill 240 is a bill that caused me some caution. I wanted to share that caution with you. As you know, we are assuming more and more responsibility with dog control, dog licensing, and dog control. And we all understand the details behind that. This Senate Bill 240, however, caused me pause because it adds to a list of animals, cats. Now, this list of animals are animals that if they're injured or killed by a dog, then that dog is moved to what is called a dangerous dog list. And then that dog and his owner has to go through a hearing process, and the dog could be required by law to be restrained or to be put down, depending on the severity of this dog's danger. I thought that since we really haven't even completely adopted all the responsibilities for policing dog issues, that adding this on top of that, that this was sort of bad timing. I'm not sure this bill is going to get completed this year, but I wanted you to be aware of it. There is some controversy about the whole issue. I mean, most of us know that one of the things dogs love to do is to chase cats. And I believe that there's been some discussion about whether or not this is appropriate. And I just wanted to kind of get your feel for this, because this responsibility that we're taking on currently with dog control and dog licensing seems to be of size, and it also seems to be at some considerable cost. And I just wanted you to be aware of this and possibly give me some direction or whether we should oppose this bill or not.
Is it just cats or is it rabbits too?
Well, there are a list of animals which include rabbits and...
You're kidding.
It's a list. I don't have it in front of me. It's a list of animals that if these animals are attacked or killed by your dog, creates a problem. And it just seems like cats is the light duty. I mean, that's the most expected animal to be chased by a dog. And it just seems like... It kind of seemed like they were piling on by trying to put that in. And I also thought that if they were going to address this, they ought to do it next year after we've completely digested the new assignment that we're going to receive as we acquire the other dog bill, which is...
Did you also say rabbits?
Yeah, I'm not sure rabbits are on that list, but it's a list of animals. I believe it's...
Chickens are on there, I think.
Yeah, I think chickens are on there, dogs... small domestic animals that you might have at your home are the animals that are listed on there, along with the poultry and
gerbils.
Yeah, I'm not sure of the list, but it just seemed to me, I don't have that code book with me, but it just seemed to me that adding cats into that was a bit much.
But this, am I reading this right, though? This is the dog must... let's say I own a cat
right.
in my yard.
Right.
The dog has to come in my yard and do this, right?
Right. The dog has to come into the cat's yard
right.
and kill the cat.
So he's got to be running loose.
Right. Right.
The dog's not supposed to be running loose.
It has to be. That's what correct. If it was on the dog's property? I mean, does it matter who's...
If it breaks loose, that's no issue.
If it's just
not
a cat.
Then it's not an issue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Right.
It's got to come on your property.
It's got to offend you by coming on your property and killing your cat.
And that would offend me.
Sure would.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway...
But does that make
I haven't really taken a position on this in the legislature, but I wanted you to be aware of it.
We don't have a lease law.
There's also been a bill to add the cats to the lease law.
Really?
That bill hasn't gone very far, but there is such a bill.
My point is that we don't have a leash law.
Right.
That dogs can run loose.
Continue, Mr. Guy.
Okay. So there was that issue. House Bill 194, the casino bill, I really believe that bill is not going to go anywhere this year, and I gave you notes about that. Senate Bill 265 is a bill that deals with agricultural nuisances. I was in the committee hearing last week, and the real issue, what caused this bill to be written in the first place, was a dust complaint. A farmer was unloading a load of soybeans, and the dust offended a nearby residential neighbor. And a summons was written, and the farmer was fined. It appears, however, that this is an ongoing problem at this particular facility in Towns End. So DENREC was trying to give this grain mill a message that they needed to be better stewards of the dust, and they had certain systems in place to control the dust that they weren't using. So it was one offense, essentially, that caused state legislation. I was very happy to hear in the committee hearing that they're probably not going to run this bill in its entirety this year. They may come up with some small adjustment that would just deal with the dust issue but not go into all the other ag nuisances, because that's where I was concerned, that this could become a very broad brush that could cause farmers all sorts of inconvenience when they're just trying to do their normal business. So the Secretary of Ag, Mr. Key, was there, and I was happy to hear his comments because they were exactly what I was thinking, which was that we needed to deal with this either next year, or if we're going to do something this year, then let's just focus on the dust complaint and not try to make a broad sweeping piece of legislation out of this. So I'm happy to report that I think what had concerned me most about this bill is probably not going to take effect. The next bill that I wanted to report to you about is the School Impact Fee on New Construction Bill, House Bill 30, which I've been following, and I attended a committee hearing a couple of weeks ago, and this bill has been amended only to cover the Middletown, which is Appaquinimic School District, so it won't affect any of our schools or any of our construction projects in Sussex County. I have two pieces of legislation that have not been introduced yet, but we want to discuss them with you to get your temperature, your feeling on this, to decide whether or not we should proceed. The first bill is a bill that would adjust our tax warrant or property tax billing schedule. And this is an issue that's been discussed in Sussex County. Among the staff and the county administrator for some time, some years. And the purpose behind this is to shrink the time where problems can arise. If we close our tax books in February or March and then send the bill out in July, there's a fairly large piece of time that properties can transfer, be sold, someone could die and the deed transfers the property. All these changes create extra work for our accountants and our folks in data processing. Then they have to rebill and try to find the new owner, and there's lots of confusion and lots of cost of rebilling. This bill that we're proposing would shrink that time down, and it would change it actually to a May 30th date, I believe. And I could let either Mr. Baker explain this to you better, or I think Mr. Parker is here, Director of Assessment. Those two gentlemen understand this best.
June 30.
Basically, the when we bill taxes, we bill based on the April 30th date.
Assessments.
For assessments. Mm-hmm. So that, for instance, if someone built a house and they completed it May 31st, they would not get a tax bill for their new house because the tax year ends April 30, even though they don't get the bill, their tax bill, till sometime in July after we get all the tax rates from the school districts and the county sets its own tax rate. So what the idea is that we change that April 30 cutoff date for assessments to June 30, and then the county can bill as of June 30. Because what happens is now is someone, we get a lot of problems. For instance, if a property transfers, say, May 30th, and transfers to a new owner, we send the tax bill to the old owner. And that adds to more confusion, more administrative work trying to get it straightened out as to who pays what. And, you know, this would simplify the process. And I think Mr. Parker's even talked to some of the school districts on this, and I don't think they had any problems.
Was the original date set maybe pre-computer era?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. That was it. To give people time, clerks time to do everything by hand to get the, to get the bills out and whatnot.
Yeah, seems reasonable.
So if you support this action, I will work vigorously to get this bill introduced. While it is late in the session, we did spend considerable time with staff and legal counsel to make sure we had the proper wording, trying to make sure that everybody was on the same page. But I will work hard to get this bill introduced and passed if you want us to do that.
Any objection from council?
What reason could there be not to do this?
Housekeeping.
Proceed, Mr. Godwin.
Okay, we have one other piece of legislation that I believe you are in support of that should be introduced today, and this bill will amend state code in relation to appointing members of your Planning and Zoning Commission. There was one word, as you remember, that said, according to representative district, we're going to change that to council district. I have the bill already drawn up. Majority Leader Schwarzkopf has the bill. I gathered up some sponsors to work with him on this. Dan Short will be on this bill with him in the House, over in the Senate. Three of our state senators, Bunting, Booth, and Venables, have all agreed to co-sponsor it. So I would think that with bipartisan support on both sides of the aisle and both houses, we should be able to get it done. If you'd like us to move forward, I think you told me you wanted to
ask you one question.
Yes, sir.
And I brought this up, but when we brought it up, the intention was to do it for both P and Z. I think that was the direction, Planning and Zoning and Board of Adjustment, because that same wording appears in both of those appointments.
Oh,
Planning and Zoning and Board of Adjustments, both of them say representative district, not council district.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the intention we brought up the first time, was to do both of them.
I missed that. Sorry. I thought it was just
P&Z. Get that.
Yes. The bill hasn't been introduced.
Either in the
well,
bill.
Well, it's about to be introduced.
Either in the bill or amend the bill.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I missed that part.
That's right.
I'll research the code to find out what I have to do to reword that.
Yeah, P&Z before it's edited on there.
Okay. Okay.
I remember talking about it.
Yep.
I'll make that adjustment. Moving on, there were five or six bills introduced. They were all small housekeeping agricultural bills. House Bill 402, 403, 404, 405, 406, and 407. They were all introduced by Representative Walls from Milford, and I gave you copies of them. They're all small things, mostly housekeeping. One was to take the management of emus out of the fruit growers code and put it in the animals code. It was a lot of little things like that. So I wanted you to have copies of them because they are ag related. I haven't spoken at committee or anything on any of those bills. It looks like the bills are moving through as they should to make some small wording changes in the state code as it relates to those agricultural issues. You'll also be happy to know that the House successfully passed a bill to increase the muskrat season, which you'd be Happy to hear that.
That Alvin did a good job.
What about the muskrats?
They're going to extend the season for trapping muskrats.
Damn, Sam, you'll have to stay home longer. Stay in the house.
House Bill 426 is a bill that I've reviewed with our Director of Building Inspections, Mr. Wright. This bill would require that any new home built with public financial assistance be built to a universal design requirement, which is a little higher than our requirements, but it's intended to make homes built with public funds totally handicapped accessible. A little wider hallways, handicapped bathrooms, and Mr. Wright explained to me that he had been in attendance at some meetings in Dover when this was discussed with all three counties, and he didn't really see any reason to object to it because it seemed to make sense for the handicapped folks. The last issue that I wanted to review with you is, while there has been no bill introduced yet, we've all heard from the governor himself and other sources that we should expect legislation to change the Register of Wills and Recorder of Deeds from county row offices into the state government. I have not yet seen that bill introduced. I've been there sitting in the hallway, as some of you know, waiting to hear it introduced. It hasn't come up. I'll be there again today, and I'll probably be there most days between now and the end of the session. If it's introduced, I will immediately get that to you so you can see it. I didn't want to make alarms before a bill has been introduced, because many times as a draft bill is floated around legislative hall, before it's introduced, it'll be vastly different. So I didn't really want to sound the alarm until I had something to show you, but we are expecting to see that.
Mr. Baker,
yes.
That legislation could shoot a multi-million dollar hole in our revenue stream if crafted the way some fear. We're going to have to pass our budget before the end of the legislative session, most likely. How will we address that multi-million dollar hole should it occur once our budget's been passed?
I think we would have to take a look at a number of different items within the budget. For instance, the grant aid portion of the budget, look at some of the items there that we have included. That comes to mind. That's the first thing that comes to mind for me.
And what is included in that state police grant?
Grants to the state police. We have some grants to our sewer districts. Some of our sewer projects are there. We have grants to the fire service, of course, conservation district, the University of Delaware, the Ag program. Of course, libraries and whatnot are included also.
Very good. All right, I appreciate that.
Mr. President, I don't think if the bill passes this year, it has to come back in the 146th General Assembly and be passed again, because it requires a constitutional amendment.
That's a very good point. Thank you, Mr. Godwin. Anything else for Mr. Godwin?
Mm-mm. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Lang.